Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with James Lockhart, Director of the Federal Housing Finance Agency. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Jeff Smith. Now, Jim, it's my understanding that foreclosures have increased almost about 150% from 2 years ago. Now, we know that foreclosures hurt families, they hurt communities, and really the overall housing market. So foreclosure prevention has got to be a critical component of stabilizing the mortgage market. Could you tell us a bit about FHFA's streamlined modification program as a way of addressing this?
Yes. Foreclosure prevention really is a critical thing for the overall economy and the housing market in particular, and certainly for individuals and their communities. Fannie and Freddie own or guarantee over 31 million mortgages. So that's well over 50% of all the mortgages in this country. So you would expect that they're suffering like many others that own mortgages with more delinquencies and the potential for foreclosures. In reality, their book was actually much higher quality than the normal book, so that they only probably have about, even though they have well over 50% of the mortgages, only about 20% of this delinquent mortgages. But that's still a very big number. And what we have them working on is the streamlined mortgage modification program. And the idea is that mortgages are serviced and for them by normally something called mortgage servicers, which are either parts of banks or independent. And the idea is that these servicers will have the ability to put someone into a much better mortgage in a very quick fashion, on a fast track, if you will. So the idea was if someone's missing their payments, the servicer would be able to lower the interest rate all the way to 3%, extend the maturity to 40 years, or even take a part of that principal and forbear on it. And what I mean by that is that you just sort of carve that aside. They'd still owe it, but they wouldn't have to pay interest or principal on it for a while. And so the idea is to try to get a mortgage payment down to the level people can afford. And they announced that in November. They launched it in mid-December. They are already sending thousands, tens of thousands of letters out to people to try to prevent them. One of the things that both firms did is that they stopped foreclosing while they were implementing this program, and that's they've agreed not to foreclose on anybody through the end of January.
It's like a cooling off period,
right? Basically, allow time to have this program implemented and to prevent foreclosures. So that's really a key element. When you look at the conservatorship and what we were trying to do is obviously we're trying to help the housing market. And one key thing is to prevent foreclosures, prevent those houses, from being foreclosed on and lowering the prices in neighborhoods. Another key component was lowering interest rates, and that's starting to happen now too. And obviously a third one is to keep Freddie and Fannie strong enough to be able to provide help in this mortgage market. So we're moving in all three, but I'm very pleased with the activity on this modification program.
Great. Now, as a follow-up, in developing this program, to what extent did you draw on the FDIC's assistance and experience with the IndyMac situation? And what are some of the similarities or differences between these two?
Well, we work very closely with the FDIC. Sheila Bear and her team are excellent. And in fact, both Fannie and Freddie had mortgages that they had bought from in IndyMac and were being serviced by them. And so, in fact, they had agreed with the FDIC to let the FDIC do their program on their mortgages that they had bought from IndyMac. So they learned a lot on it. The overall program is extremely similar. The key issue is really what they call it a front-end ratio, but it's basically the ratio of your housing payments related to your income is. And what we try to do in the streamline program is set that at about 38%. So the lower all those payments to get to that 38%, and that's where the IndyMac program started. Now they're lowering that somewhat as well. But the overall programs are very similar, and I think we're starting to get some real traction in it.
Going back to foreclosures, could you tell us about the foreclosure prevention report, and what is the purpose of this report, and how does it influence your loss mitigation strategies?
Well, the foreclosure prevention report is something that we started to put out, I guess, maybe 6 months ago or so. There was a big effort called Hope Now that was announced, I guess it was probably by President Bush in the summer of 07 at this point now, to try to start getting information and preventing foreclosures. What we wanted to do is to get some transparency to show what Fannie and Freddie were doing in this area. So we have a very detailed report we put out of all the actions they've taken to prevent foreclosures. I think transparency is good. Getting information out there, getting a scorecard out there is good. And in a way, this is a scorecard, so people can see what Fannie and Freddie are doing. The Office of the Comptroller of Currency and the Office of Thrift Supervision do one for the banks as well. And so we're getting the information out there to the public of what's being done. And I think once you get it out there, we're seeing more and more activity.
Given that the debt and guarantees of the housing enterprises exceeds the U.S. debt, would you tell us about any other foreclosure mitigation strategies your agency is pursuing?
Well, the two companies, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, have a whole series of foreclosure prevention activities. The streamlined one I mentioned to you was related to people that are 3 months late in payments. They and others are now trying to be even more proactive. If it looks like there's going to be a higher interest rate through an adjustable rate mortgage or a person's lost their job, they're trying to intervene right away, trying to work with the borrower before it becomes a problem. And so that's critical going forward.
The Treasury Secretary established special facilities to purchase obligations of the housing GSEs. Would you elaborate on these facilities and how have they essentially guaranteed Fannie and Freddie debt securities?
Right. At the time of the conservatorship last September, we negotiated with the Treasury Department really three different facilities. One I think I've already mentioned, which is the senior preferred facility, and that's $100 billion each. And the idea is that will keep a positive net worth. They also have a liquidity facility. So that they can borrow money if they need it on a short-term basis. And that's not only for Fannie and Freddie, but it's also for the 12 Federal Home Loan Banks. And the third facility was the ability of Treasury to hire investment managers to buy Fannie and Freddie mortgage-backed securities. And they bought about $50 billion already in that facility. Now, subsequent to that, in late November, the Federal Reserve announced a few other two other facilities that have now been implemented as well. And as you know, the Federal Reserve has big buying power, and one facility is $500 billion, $500 billion of mortgage-backed securities. So they'll be buying Fannie Mae's, Freddie Mac's, and Ginnie Mae's mortgage-backed securities. And in addition, there was a $100 billion debt facility that where they'll be buying Freddie and Fannie's and the Federal Home Loan Bank's debt. Those series of facilities have really had a very dramatic impact on interest rates and mortgage rates. Mortgages were up as high as 6.5%, and now they're getting down to 5%, and you're even seeing some banks offering at 4.75%. So we've had a pretty dramatic impact, and we're hoping that will really help stabilize the mortgage market. We'll get the buyers back into the mortgage market, people that for the last year have been waiting. These are very attractive rates.
Great. So as we discussed in the last segment, Jim, as the conservator, FHFA assumed the power of the board and management. What are your efforts in establishing new boards of directors, and what have you done to forge a foundation of good governance?
Yeah, that's a critical question for these two companies. In fact, when we went through the consent agreements and the problems of 3 or 4 years ago, one of the key things we wanted to do is to build up those strong board of directors and with really strong and active committees, audit committees, obviously, compensation committees, but we also had risk management committees. And we wanted to make sure that continued. Now, many of the directors, we felt it was appropriate for them to leave, but we kept a few. And then working with a headhunter, we have been able to really attract a very high-quality bunch of board members with a significant financial experience, housing experience, risk management experience, and accounting experience, management experience. And so late last year, a couple weeks ago, we did announce that the boards have been populated. They're up and running. I met with both boards in December, and their audit committees are up and functioning. They're going to be the audit committee as they put out their 2008 numbers. So and I think that's critical for any organization is to have that governance in place.
What does the future hold for the Federal Housing Finance Agency? We will ask Jim Lockhart, director of the Federal Housing Finance Agency, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.